Well, if you have your Bibles, while I'm fiddling around here, if you'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 5, please. And this, I believe, is a really important passage of Scripture for this congregation and for Slough as a whole. I believe it covers what God wants to do in Slough. That's a huge statement, but I really believe that. And God started to speak to me about this scripture over 20 years ago, which is, I was a little child at the time, so. and since then, you know, it's been at the forefront of my thinking for Slough, and it makes me have a passion for what God wants to do. I'm not sure Elizabeth may remember a visit we had of someone called Suzette Hatting. Do you remember? You do. Barbara does. I don't know Julian Costas whether you were. This is going back to a church that we were in Slough. I think it could have even been the late 70s. It's going back a long, long way, or even early 80s. She was it doesn't matter, but she was really internationally very well respected and well known. Worked with Reinhard Bonnke, who is an evangelist in Africa. And she came to Slough. It was like, wow, Suzette Hatting's coming. You know, it was one of those things. And she actually prophesied this over Slough Church. And I remember very distinctly in a meeting, she spoke about this, and then she got everyone to start declaring parts of the scripture, this scripture that I'm going to read, because she said, this is a scripture for Slough. And I think it was even before that, the Lord had begun to reveal that to me too. And interestingly, again, you may not have picked this up, but a few weeks ago when we introduced Ian and Sabina and their children, Ian actually spoke out this scripture because he said he felt the Lord was saying this over Slough. So that's just by way of introduction, but I just want you to get this in your spirit because I believe it's God's heart for Slough. And I really hope that those that are not here this morning will listen to what I have to say. But even if no one was here, the very fact I'm going to be declaring stuff this morning is enough for the Lord to pick up on that and work with it. So let me just read you Isaiah 60, chapters 1, just to the beginning of verse 5. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy." I'm just going to leave it there, but that's amazing, isn't it? That is the word of the Lord to this congregation. Now, Isaiah, the prophet who wrote that book, was speaking prophetically about the restoration of Israel, because that's who that book was addressed to. They were in exile. They'd been in exile 70 years, and they were going to come back to the land of Israel. And the book of Isaiah is full of hope. It's full of promises. It's what we call a prophetic book. And prophetic books have several dimensions to them. They speak into the immediate situation. So that was spoken to the nation of Israel thousands of years ago about coming back to the land. The land was going to be restored to them because they were in exile. And it also speaks to the future of Israel, God's chosen people. But another dimension that prophecy and prophetic books have is that it speaks to us today, the church. So it's multidimensional, if you like. It was into that situation. It always speaks into a context, an historical context. But because it's prophetic, it talks about a future hope for the people of Israel, but it also speaks to us on August the 26th to 2012. It has the same power as when Isaiah penned those words and it was spoken out. And as I said, it's a prophetic picture, I believe, of what God wants to do through us in the town of Slough. And we're going to look at that scripture that I've just read in a little bit more detail. And I'm going to pray that revelation will drop in our hearts. We can hear things with our ears, and it can be like knowledge, if you like. It can be added to our memory banks of knowledge. I could tell you the date Isaiah prophesied that. I could tell you what happened historically to Israel, and that would be knowledge. And you could just store that or think, well, that's irrelevant to me, and just discard it. But revelation is different. Revelation is like God opening something up to you so that it doesn't touch your mind first, it touches your heart and your spirit. And that is revelation knowledge. And that's what I want you to capture this morning. You may not, I don't understand all of it, how it's going to happen, but it's captured me here. And that's called revelation. And quite often it's something you can't really articulate because it touches your spirit and it hasn't quite filtered up to your head. So you can find that you can get really excited about something in the Bible. You can read a scripture and think, God, that is fantastic. That's really spoken to me. And someone will say, why? What's it say? Oh, I really don't know. Because it's just touched your spirit. And some of the things that I may be talking about might get you excited in your spirit. But really, if someone said, can you explain it? You would say, well, actually, no. That's what happens with revelation. Then you need to pray about it. And it sort of works its way up from your heart to your head so that you can bring some sort of articulation. So, Lord, I just pray this morning that you will open the eyes of our heart and reveal something of your purposes for this town, or the town that we are believing for, the town of Slough. And so, Father, reveal things to us. Lord, just take the words that I'm going to speak and let them come as a revelation to every heart here and everyone that's listening. Amen. Okay. So let's have a look at the first bit. Arise, shine, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. I can say that straight to you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Now, Isaiah was reminding Israel of her calling, and the calling of the nation of Israel was to be a light to the nations. That's who Israel was. They were chosen by God, a special people. He called them my special possession. And he worked with them. And the purpose for Israel was to be a light to the nations, or the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. If you're taking notes, which I can see you all are, that's written in Isaiah 49 and verse 6. He says, I will also make you as a light to the nations, or the light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That was Israel's calling, to be a light. And later on in the book of Isaiah, it says how they were going to do this. They were going to open blind eyes, free captives from prison, release them from the dungeon, release from the dungeon those that sit in darkness. So that was Israel's calling, a light to the nations. That's our calling, a light to the nations. In the book of Acts, Acts 13:47, Paul was preaching, the apostle Paul, who went on his missionary journeys, was preaching, and he picked up on that quote about being a light to the nations. And he said, one of the churches on his missionary journeys. He said, I've made you a light to the nations that you may bring salvation, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That's like a mission statement, if you like. God's purposes haven't changed. And the Church of Jesus Christ, us, are to be a light to the nations, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So if anyone asks what you are about, it is to be a light to the nations and to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, how different churches actually do that differs. They will be a light to the nations in different ways. And in all this, Jesus is our model. He's the head of the body. And it's no surprise that Jesus actually said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And that is what he said we are to be. He says, you are the light of the world as well. I am the light of the world, but you are the light of the world. And he goes on to say that a city set on a hill can't be hidden. And so arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. So we are a light. That's who we are. We are a light. A light to the nations, individually and corporately. Jesus is the light. He said, you are the light. But also, we are made to be carriers of the glory of God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. So we are to be carriers of the glory of God. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Glory carriers. There's a song, Glory Carriers. Who knows the song Glory Carriers? Well, we're not going to sing it. There's a man who sings, a singer-songwriter. He calls himself a minstrel, I think, doesn't he? And he's written a song, Godfrey Birtle, he's written a song called Glory Carriers. And if you were at Deeper the other week, I'm sure, I was on holiday actually, but he sings that. All about carrying the glory of God wherever you are, whether you're in the dentist, in the pub, in the bathroom, in the garage, wherever you are a glory carrier. That's who you are. You carry the glory. And God's purpose for this world, these are huge statements this morning, but they're all biblical, Habakkuk 2:4, is that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. That's God's purpose for this world. That's what it's all about. This is what it is, to fill, be a light to the nations and fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. Now, glory is not just a sparkly cloud. Otherwise, you'd have the whole world filled with its sparkles. If some of you are not sure what I'm talking about, one of the latest phenomena, which when I was at school, I remember learning the definition of that as a thing perceived but not understood. It's pretty good. I've never forgotten that. I had to write the definition of phenomena. So people could see glory clouds over in not just Bethel Church in California. There's been a manifestation of the glory of God. So there might be in a meeting like this, a bit bigger, and then there's been this big cloud come in the room full of little sparkly things. And that's happened quite a lot. You can actually see it. I mean, I subscribe to Bethel TV. You can watch the meetings. And so suddenly you see this cloud, a manifestation of the glory of God with little sparkly things in it. So, it's not just there. It happens elsewhere. I think that would be pretty good. Wouldn't you like that? I think so. But, you know, the glory isn't just a sparkly cloud. So let's just talk about what it is in a few minutes. There's a lot more than I could say, but in Exodus chapter 33, Moses was so gripped by the presence of God, which had led the children of Israel through the desert. You know the story with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? That may have had sparkly bits as well, I'm not sure. And Moses made the request to God. He said, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go anywhere. And that's what I just say by the by for this congregation. Yes, there's so many places we could perhaps go here, go there, do this, do that. But as a leadership, we are committed to saying, if your presence doesn't go with us, lead us not from this place, which I think is paramount. We're a church who is going to be led by the presence of God, not by anything else. And Moses actually made the request, to God, show me your glory. So I wonder what God replied. Well, God replied this. He said to Moses, this is Exodus 33 and verse 19. He said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name. So that's interesting, isn't it? Show me your glory. And God said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name. Now, a few months ago, I was speaking and talking about the covenant names of God. Jehovah, or my God is my healer, my provider, the God who's there. The God is my peace. So God has many covenant names. So wrapped up in that whole thing about God's goodness are the names of God, who God is. I've just been reading a very good book, actually, by Paul Manwaring, who used to live in Slough, who went to the same church as me in Slough, and is now associate pastor with Bill Johnson in Bethel Church in California. And he's written a book called What on Earth is Glory? And it wouldn't surprise me if he was actually in that meeting with Suzette Hatting. But it's just interesting that the whole book about glory was written about someone who lived in Langley for a while and went to the same church, which I thought only crossed my mind actually the other day. And he says that he gives this definition. Glory is God's expression. God unveiling who he is by what he says and does. That's good, isn't it? Glory is God's expression, God unveiling who he is by what he says and does. So we are glory carriers. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with me or not, that is fact. If you know the Lord, you are a glory carrier. So we are to be in God's expression. You are God's expression, unveiling who he is by what you do and by what you say. Yeah? You with me? Okay, so let me just take that one stage further, which you perhaps might think, that's interesting. Everyone in this world, whether they believe in Jesus, whether they have a relationship with God, whether they are far from God, I believe that everyone in this world was born to be a carrier of the glory. Everybody. Go down Pesca Street this afternoon, Slough High Street. Everyone you see was born to be a carrier of the glory of God. Oh, I meant to look this up this morning. Someone might know where it is. There's a scripture, maybe Romans. It's one that you always quote if you're in evangelistic circles and you want to lead someone to the Lord. It's one of those scriptures. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, thank you. Okay. I was thinking it was 3:23, but Romans 6:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we're quoting that, quite often people talk about all have sinned, but not so much on fallen short of the glory of God. And it's a verse for all of us. How many of us have fallen short, even as Christians, of the glory to which we were born for? It's really falling short of the glory is not embracing all of which we were created for. Okay. It is 23. Ah, okay. It is Romans 3:23. Thank you. So we were born to be glory carriers every day. Do you remember the definition? For us to unveil, to be God's expression and unveil who he is by what we do and say. And any time we're not being God's expression, any time we're not unveiling who he is by what we do and say, we are actually falling short of the glory for which we're made. So that's just throwing that out. And I'll come back to that about people who are not part of the Church of Jesus Christ at the moment. So we are the light. The glory is on us. And you know, we just, let's just pray daily that the Lord will reveal to us what it means to walk daily with that understanding. Okay, that we are light. And light dispels darkness. Isn't that right? It doesn't have to try. If you go back to Isaiah 60 in verse 2, it says, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people. So what will dispel the darkness? Light. If you have a dark room, all you do need to do is strike a match and suddenly it's not dark anymore. Only needs a little bit of light to dispel the darkness. Isaiah 60 in verse 2, it's a fact, isn't it? Darkness is over the earth and thick darkness is over the majority of people. It's as if a veil is over them. They can't see the light. Isaiah 25:7, talking about this sort of darkness, it says it's a veil or a death shroud or sheet. The Bible speaks about people living in darkness or death because they haven't opened their heart to Jesus. It's like their eyes are blinded. So there's various words for this in the Bible: darkness, a sheet, a shroud, a death shroud. So that's what Jesus came to do. He's the light of the world. And he was on earth to bring light into the darkness. Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations. Jesus was a light to the nations, a light to the darkness. And it says in Matthew 4:16, to do with the Jesus coming into the world, the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So when Jesus came, he brought light into the world, and the people who were living in darkness began to see a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of light. And the light who we are, the glory that's on us, will dispel the darkness that's out there on the people. Okay, it's good, isn't it? This is who we are. This is what we were born for. So let's just go back to verse 1. And the first two words are arise and shine. Arise and shine. And I was just looking at those. And as I was reading through these first five verses, it says, arise, shine. It also says the Lord rises in verse 2. Verse 3, it talks about the brightness of your dawn. And I thought, yeah, these are all to do with new days, aren't they? Beginnings. Arise, shine. That makes you think of morning, doesn't it? Is that what you're like in the morning? Is that what you're like in the morning? Sorry. Arise, shine. The Lord rises on you. The brightness of your dawn speaks of a new day. And new days in God are always full of possibilities. Every day is a new day. Every day is full of possibilities. I don't know what you think about mornings. I actually am a morning person. I'm one of those sickening people probably that jump up in the morning and I can't wait for a new day. I love the morning, and the nicest thing I like to do, I think I've said before, I live by the river in Eaton Wick, and if I'm up and I'm not having to go out fairly early in the morning, I love just to go for a 45-minute walk by the river. It's wonderful. It's clear. The swans are there. There's not a lot of people. You might meet a few dog walkers, but you know, you're not run over by hundreds of bikes. It's like the towpath along Eaton Wick is like the M25. You take your life in your hands going along there later on. But it's fantastic. It's clear and it's a new day. And I believe that this is what God wants to get in our spirits, that he's saying to us, arise and shine. It is a new day. And I want to speak over us a declaration. I'm going to read it from this book, because every day holds with it fantastic possibilities. And I think we've been talking about what the Lord wants to do for us and for Slough, but we need to declare this, not just listen to it, but actually speak out these words. And I just want to declare something about the day that we're moving into. And just agree with it in your spirits as I declare this. We say to this day, you are blessed. And we declare that we serve a mighty God who today will do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. You are a good God, and we eagerly anticipate your goodness today. So we speak that into this day even, but also the wider day that we are going to be in. We say to this day, you are blessed. And we declare that we serve a mighty God who today will do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. You are a good God, and we eagerly anticipate your goodness today. Amen. That's not the end of what I've got to say. Sounds like it. So, if you think about the sun, if you can't really see it with all the buildings, but I'm sure you all know what I mean. Have you seen the sun come up on the horizon, either in the mountains or on a flat over a beach or something over the sea? It's like a little pinprick, isn't it? You could hardly see it, and then it begins to rise. Have you all seen that? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's a fact. You see the little bit coming, and you don't think in your mind, is the rest of it going to come up today? It'd be rather foolish. It might be the sort of thing a little child might say, Mummy, are we going to see the rest of the sun today? But, you know, as adults, it's going to come. The dawn and the little bit of sun speaks of the whole full-blown sun coming, doesn't it? It's a fact. So let's just have a look at verse 3. It says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And I thought, wow, they're coming to the light, but it doesn't say they're coming to the full-blown sun. They're coming to that little pinprick, the dawn. I thought that was interesting. So they will come, even though we may fall short a little bit of the glory for which we were made. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Well, we may not always walk in the full understanding and revelation of the glory of God, expressing everything that God does and is. I don't think I walk like that every day. It might be my goal, but, you know. And so nations will come, even though we may just be that little bit of sun on the horizon. They will be attracted by the little bit of glory that we leak. And these verses, as I said, are a prophetic statement for Slough. I really believe that, and I know Ian and Sabina believe this too. Slough has got over 100 different ethnic groups. I'm actually trying to find out all of them. It's very difficult. You know, all I've been able to find out so far, they divide people into sort of wide categories like black, Asian, or white, whatever. You know, it's very sort of huge. And even looking at countries of birth doesn't help, because most people are second and third generation have lived here. So, you know, I'd love to have a list of all the ethnic groups. If anyone has an idea of how to get one, well, let me know. But I do know that there is at least over 100. And when we talk about ethnic groups or the nations, we're not speaking about geopolitical entities. We're speaking of, this is big words, ethnolinguistic. People who are in a group because of their ethnicity and their language, not because they all live in Romania, whatever. Okay, are you with me there? So it says here, and I thought this was like a revelation to me as I was reading this. It says, kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of kings. I suppose the first thing I might think of is someone with a crown coming to the walking in the church. You know, I'm a king. You know, we could all recognise that, couldn't we? But do you know something? I just thought, people are going to come and they're going to be the poor. They're going to be perhaps refugees, people from different nationalities. And they won't look like kings. Jesus, when he was born, didn't look like a king. He was born in a stable as a little baby. And yet, those three kings, wise men, you know, they came and they bought Jesus kingly gifts because they had a revelation of who this child was. They didn't see the baby so much. They saw his potential. They saw that he was a king. And they bought him the gifts relevant to a king, gold, frankincense and myrrh. And, you know, I just believe that people are going to come, and we're going to go out there as well. It's not all coming, it's going as well. And we're going to meet people who need to be restored to the glory for which they were created. All have sinned, yes. There's been so much emphasis on the sinner bit. But let's think about the restoring, falling short of the glory and restoring people back to the glory for which they were created. So instead of seeing people as a sinner, all have sinned, why not think of people as bundles of potential in the kingdom of God and call forth the glory for which they were created? Now that takes a little bit of prophetic revelation. To see past what you see. And I was just thinking, you know, let's just take Slough High Street. And I say that because there's all sorts of people that walk up and down Slough High Street. If you haven't done it lately, go and sit in Starbucks and just people watch. And you will see the huge diversity of people. Every colour in the world, every size and shape in the world is in Slough High Street. I think every language in the world too. But just people watch and just think that in every one of those people, there is something that God, when they were born, God created them for glory. And think of them as bundles of potential or kings, because we are kings and priests for God. And so it says that, what's that scripture? I've lost it again. Kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. Well, let's have a little bit of adjustment in our minds about what those kings are. Because they may not look like kings, but God sees their potential. He sees the glory for which they were created. And, you know, I just pray, Lord, that we will see people not as they are, but for the glory for which they were created. And you can then speak to people and have a word for them. You know, you were created for this. And people will then be able to respond because that's what they were created for. And Satan has hijacked what those people have been created for. He may have hijacked things that you've been created for. Because each one of you were created for glory. We talk about finding the gold in people. So as Christians, though, we can ask our Heavenly Father and we can call forth that glory in each other. A scripture that came to my mind about this was in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says, "He raises up the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honour." So that's his heart. He wants to lift people from the dust, lift them from the ash heap, and set them with princes and have them inherit a throne of honour. He sees them as kings. It's just a different way of looking at evangelism, if you like, the way we see people. Which brings me on to verse 4, which actually starts with the words, "Lift up your eyes and look about you." And there are different ways that we can see. we can see what's happening with the natural eye. I can look out there and see some cars. I can see you sitting there. We look. But when it speaks about lifting up your eyes and look around you, that speaks about seeing with spiritual eyes, seeing with revelation. Again, let's go back to Slough High Street. You're sitting outside Starbucks, looking around. Factually, you could say, I saw five people I thought were from Africa. I could see five from the Indian subcontinent. You know, I saw some Eastern Europe. You could sort of, you know, I saw some families. You could say that. That's a factual statement. But seeing with your spiritual eyes, lift up your eyes, you would see totally differently. You would get your spirit excited by the bundles of potential or the kings that you're seeing. And God would begin to give you revelation into these different communities, into these different people groups. And that's what we want to do. That's what this church needs to do, to reach out. It's not a case of sitting down with a pen and pencil and getting a strategy. I think it'd be good if we did this. You know, that's fine. But I'm convinced that God wants to reveal to us, what he wants to do with it within all these nations, to see them as God sees them, to see that, yes, they are amazing people, but they've fallen short of the glory for which they were created. And it says here, lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you, and your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Now, is that happening? Is that actually happening physically now in reality? Well, it isn't, is it? No. But he's saying, lift up your eyes and you will see with your spiritual eyes this happening. If you have the eyes of Christ, if you have the revelation, you will see people coming. You will all assemble and come to you. Your sons from afar, your daughters are carried on the arm. So Isaiah was speaking about revelation, and he was seeing things from heaven's perspective. So that is what we need to pray. Lord, lift up my eyes. Let me see with revelation what you're doing. And then if we do this, we will see, and it will make us so, so happy and joyful. Because it says in verse 5, just the beginning of verse 5, it says, then you will look differently, you will look with revelation, you will look through spiritual eyes. Then you will look, and the consequence of looking, it says, you will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. That's pretty good, isn't it? Do you want to be radiant? Do you want your heart to throb and swell with joy? So you think, oh, can't take any more in. I just can't take it anymore. Have you ever felt like that? I'm so full of joy and amazing things that God is doing. I cannot take any more. Ponder on that for a minute. I have, actually, on occasions. And you think, I can't take any more. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to see what he's doing, see through revelation, be radiant. You'll be radiant. You'll be beaming. You are radiant. So. Even more radiant. Yes, you are. You're all glory carriers, but you will be even more radiant. And even more heart throbbing and swelled with joy. Isn't that? That's fantastic. Do you want to be swelled with joy? So I'm going to finish there because I thought, I don't know how to finish this really, but I thought finishing on the word joy might be a good thing to finish with. As well as knowing who we are in Christ, I mean, that's really important. We need to understand who we are in Christ. But each one of us needs significance and purpose because we were created for that. It's not big-headed to say, I want significance. That's what you were created for. You weren't created just to sit and do nothing. You were created to be like Jesus. But in doing that, your life will have such significance and such purpose. And you will have a reason to live, a reason to get up in the morning. And I think the Lord wants us to live in days when our hearts will throb and swell with joy, and we will just radiate the glory. Does that sound too good to be true? It sounds wonderful. But it's truth. It's the truth. And, you know, going back a little bit, it's when we enter into the purpose of God for this world. That sounds huge, but when we understand God's purposes and our little lives link in with what God wants to do, then our little lives are given huge significance and huge purpose. And the result of that is that we will be radiant. Our hearts will throb and we will swell with joy. So that's what I wanted to say this morning, based on that scripture, which I believe is for this church, for this congregation, and for the town of Slough. And that's speaking that out now. So, Lord, just let those words that I've spoken about this morning, let them capture our hearts, whether we're sitting here now or whether we're listening. Let the whole understanding of what you want to do capture us so much that our hearts throb, we're radiant, and we swell with joy. Amen.